Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Orient Bell Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We have with us on call today from the management of Orient Bell Limited, Mr. Aditya Gupta, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Himanshu Jindal, Chief Financial Officer, along with Stellar IR Advisors, investor relation advisors. The management will be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the quarter and half year ended September 30, 2022, followed by a question and answer session. Please note that some of the statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Orient Bell Limited will not be in any way responsible for any action taken based on such statements and undertake no obligations to publicly update these forward-looking statements. Documents relating to the company's financial performance are available on the website of the stock exchanges and the company's investor section. Trust you have been able to go through the same. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aditya Gupta for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. This is Aditya from Orient Bell. A very good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and a warm welcome to our Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. This quarter demand was not as strong as what we had witnessed over the last few quarters, along with a very steep increase in input costs, especially gas. Morbi reacted by curtailing production and running liquidation schemes, putting immense pressure on pricing. Through the quarter, OVL has continued building business fundamentals and stayed away from discounting and credit fuel sales. This arrested our top-line momentum, and we ended Q2 with a 12% sequential growth and a 2.4% year-on-year growth. We saw a steep volume drop in low-margin commodity traded products, especially like double charge and nano. This is one reason why our trading sales percentage was lower versus historical average. Costs have been a concern for quite some time now. Gas costs have increased substantially across plants. While the increase was between 63%-71% year-on-year for our two major plants at Secunderabad and Hoskote, the gas cost almost tripled at Dodla. Our manufacturing teams have been consistently working out solutions to reduce the overall impact, yet this meant a dilution of our margins. Nevertheless, we continued working on business fundamentals. Our collections were fantastic. DSO continues to stay below 45 days, and the value of our sales without a credit risk has increased to 43% versus 33% same time last year. By this, I mean sales which is either coming on advance payment or it is secured through a letter of credit or a bank guarantee. Vitrified mix improved to 43% in Q2 versus 42% last year. This is in spite of our steep volume drop in double charge and nano. We have continued to strengthen our display footprint through exclusive Orient Bell Tile boutiques. So far this year, there has been a net addition of 33 OBTBs in H1, taking the count of active OBTBs to 318. Branding recall keeps getting better, driven by digital initiatives. September 2022 versus September 2021, our website traffic has increased by 60% and our social media engagement has increased by  260%. Branding investments were up 23% year-on-year during H1, and we have also continued to add more people to aid our scale-up. Net add on people front was 29 in H1 of FY23. On sales front, we have added one new zone and two branches to improve our connect with clients. On the learning and development side, our teams have collectively spent 4,000 man-hours on acquiring new skills. Another great highlight for the quarter was the extension of the ESOP scheme benefit to more employees. Now we have more than 50 key employees in the company who are under the ESOP scheme. On the CAPEX front, with the commissioning of Line 3 at Hoskote, we have already completed our round 1 of growth CAPEX well within the agreed budget and timelines. Considering that South and West are still far bigger opportunities and the fact that we still have a lot to catch up, we have decided to set up a new GVT line at our existing plant at Dora. The capacity of this new line will be 3.3 million square meters and we expect an outlay of rupees 76 crores for the same. This investment would fuel our growth in South and West. With this, I request our CFO, Himanshu Jindal, for the financial and other updates. Over to you, Himanshu.
Thanks, Aditya. Good afternoon, all. Overall, a challenging second quarter in recent times. Our top line at 171 crores was marginally higher in quarter 2 by 2.4% over the last year, largely on account of the price increases implemented over the last few quarters. For the first half, the top line was 325 crores, which was an increase of 28% YOY, volume gain being 12% and the ASP 14%. Given the one-offs associated with the last year base, what perhaps is more relevant is how revenues, volumes and prices developed versus the pre-pandemic levels. So from a revenue perspective, quarter two top line at a three-year CAGR was 12% up. For the first half, the CAGR was 10%. Volume for our own manufactured products grew at a three-year CAGR of plus 8.5%. Which was aided by the strategic investments deployed by OBL over the last 2 years. For the first half, the CAGR was 7.6%. Three-year CAGR for total volumes was 5.1% for quarter two and 3.5% for first half. On ASP front, the three-year CAGR was plus 6.5%. Like Aditya mentioned, input costs, primarily gas, has been a dragger on the gross profit margin, which is a net reduction of 290 basis points versus the last year on own manufacturing. What is also relevant is the fact that our teams here at OBL have ensured that we do minimize the full-blown impact of the hyperinflation that we continue to witness across our plants. On a like-for-like basis, which is at constant energy costs and product mix, we were still able to save 7.6% of cost versus quarter two last year. Just to add some more color to the production cost savings initiatives, so we've already modernized some of our old lines in round one CAPEX, replacing old dryers or improving insulations on our kilns, etc., through which we have been able to realize significant savings primarily on fuel consumption. So this was lower by 18% in quarter two on a YOY basis. We also are drawing significant portion of our power needs via trading or solar PPAs now at both Secunderabad and Hoskote, which is approximately 37% of our requirement. Beyond this, as gas is becoming more and more dearer, we have earmarked more money for projects across our three plants to improve our flexibility to use alternative fuels. So we are installing a new dryer at one of our wall plants at Secunderabad, upgrading our FBCC at Secunderabad and Dora to be able to handle biofuels, which are almost 2.5 times cheaper versus gas. And simultaneously, we are working on another project to use LPG at Hoskote. The total outlay on these ongoing improvement projects is approximately 7 crores, and they are expected to start yielding sometime between this quarter and the next. Our spends on strategic identified areas including people, display, distribution, branding, product, and even digital initiatives have continued. This meant that our fixed cost stayed relatively elevated in quarter two. Our branding investments for quarter two was 3.6% of the total revenues. On a YOY basis, this did have a role to play on the profitability, Comparing to the pre-pandemic levels, there's still a gain of 78%. On the margin front, this translates to 170 basis points. The consolidated PAT for the quarter was 6 crores, or almost 3.5% of revenues. On the working capital side, while we did increase inventories for obvious reasons, we are still quite comfortable operating at less than 25 days on core cash conversion. Moving on the capex front, round one growth investments are over now, and we have already largely digested the outflows of 68 crores that we had earmarked for these out of our internal accruals. The balance sheet continues to stay strong, and this gives enough comfort for the next round of investment for a new line at GVT line at Dora, which was approved by the board yesterday. I think we can now request the moderator to open the lines for Q&A. Thank you.
Over to you, Peter. Thank you very much. Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Asim Bardi from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon to you too. So you mentioned gas cost prices going up. Can you also talk about the gas availability situation for your plants and in the immediate vicinity of these? Is the shortage too acute? How was it during Q2 and how has it been in October, and what are you seeing on that front for November and December?
So gas availability per se, Asim, is not a problem, right? We have long-term linkages across plants. So that is not a challenge. Yes, the price is going up or the cost going up for gas. Gas is definitely one. And this is why I talked about these, fuel efficiency projects that we are running across locations. Yeah?
Gas has become so dear, so expensive, we are also sensing that the overall demand for gas is also kind of contracting, or maybe not growing at as fast a pace as that it was growing earlier. So I think that is also some of the people who are finding gas extremely totally unviable are moving out of gas. So the net impact of all of this is that as far as availability is concerned, or our ability to run our plant smoothly without any interruption, it is not a issue at all.
And just to follow up on this, can you just let me know, like, who are the gas suppliers? Because from what I understand, there is a availability issue, at least for GAIL in the north. And apparently that problem is there for priority sectors as well. So maybe if you could just help me understand, who are your suppliers?
So Gas Authority, GAIL is our supplier. And we have been engaged with them as recently as last month. And, we have discussions with them with respect to the supplies that we need for the next 5 months. And they have assured us that there is not going to be any problem.
And there was no cut in gas supply in Q2 as well from there?
Absolutely, absolutely not.
Okay, and just a second question, basically, on the biofuels that you mentioned, or maybe even LPG, which you are talking about for one of the plants you're talking about. So how does it differ in terms of production economics versus natural gas? Any sense you can share on that front?
See, biofuels are, like I mentioned, 2.5 times cheaper versus gas as on date today. Okay. So there's at least 30 to 50% minimum savings which are going to come in. LPG, we are trying that at Hoscott. The installation is already on. As on date again, there is at least a 15-20% delta between gas and LPG there. So these are meaningful savings which are going to come in, very attractive payback projects.
So I understand that the cost is lower, but in terms of consumption, is that also like similar to natural gas? Just like say one unit of natural gas produces say X amount of tiles. The same one unit of say a biofuel produces the same amount of tiles, or is there more or less?
So when I say cost, yeah, when I compare cost and when I tell you 30-40% cheaper, 30-50% cheaper, or 15-20% cheaper, I'm talking landed, yeah, after taking into account the impact on taxes and after taking into account the impact of heat consumption. So there is obviously a difference in UHVs, yeah. So LPG would be 11,500, gas would be 9,500, for example, UHV.
Mm-hmm.
That is adjusted for it already.
Okay, understood.
Biofuel does not totally replace gas. It replaces gas in some part of the production process, not 100% of the production.
Sir, sorry to interrupt. May I request you to come a little closer to the speaker? You're not clearly audible.
My point was, we have been using biofuels for some time, and it is not a 100% replacement of gas. Some of the production processes we are running exclusively on biofuel, and some of them are now running exclusively on gas.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot. I'll get back in the queue.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naysar Parikh from Native Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Hi. My question is on demand. Obviously the demand outlook has been a bit weak, but what are you seeing in this quarter? And the market leader obviously reported, flattish volume. Our volumes declined by 10%. So, what is the sense of the overall industry and our market share within that in this quarter?
So, the demand, as I reported in my opening statement, has been sluggish in quarter two. We expect typically H2 is much better than H1. In our industry, and more so for Orient Bell, if you see, we have historically had 55% plus of our revenues coming in from H2. So we expect demand to pick up, but there are uncertainties. A lot also depends on how fast and how much, say, exports go up from Morbi. I think demand is improving. Especially after the festival season is over, now it's all serious business for the next 5 months. Demand is improving, but it is not the kind of the double digit 20-30% growth that we are seeing previous financial year.
Got it. And what about pricing? We've not taken any price increases this quarter. So is there any plan to take any price increases in H2?
See, we have not seen any price increase from any player actually implemented on the ground in the last 4 months. And there have been some sporadic news items about price increases, but they have been more than compensated by passing discounts, below the line. So effectively, we have not seen any price increases happening in the market. So, as Himanshu said, our focus has been, very tight focus has been on managing costs. Some more projects on cost, the Hoskote project on LPG, which Himanshu spoke about, and all will get will commence from this quarter. So we will continue to do that, and let's see how the industry behaves on price increases. So far, quarter two did not have any price increases.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Jojo Shaju from Alpha Invesco Research Services Limited. Please go ahead. Mr. Shaju, your line is unmuted. Please unmute your line and proceed.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Hello. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. So in our presentation, we have mentioned that we continue to invest in people and we have added some 29 odd people during the first half of the year. So can you just guide us on how are we improving our distribution organizational strength across various regions, per se, especially because in West, we have a very low revenue share. I mean, most of our revenue is still dominated by from North and Southern market. So how do we plan to grow in West and where this addition of people or addition of branches is happening? If you can just guide us on our distribution strategy per se.
Okay, so I'll take that, Shaji. Thanks for the question. We have a bulk of the people that you see, the 29 net add, would be coming in sales and distribution. We have been adding more and more branches and zones. So this is something which doesn't change over a quarter dramatically. So I will give you a sense of where we were, say, 2 years back and where we are today. In the last 2 years, we have added three more zones, one for Central, which is MP and Chhattisgarh. We have added West as a separate zone with a separate zonal head, which we never had before that. We have broken South into two parts and added a zonal head there. We have also added, I think, three or four branches in South and West over the last 2 years. And we have also started making inroads into the enterprise market in Bombay and Pune, for example, with people going in there. So very concerted effort over the last 2 years to strengthen our go-to market in these two regions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
And another thing, so this is about the people piece. You know that one project, the two big projects that we have done in the last say 6 to 9 months were both targeted towards the South and the West market. One was the third line at Hoskote, which we commissioned in September 22. The other project was the conversion of Dora line from ceramics to vitrified, which we commissioned in June 22. And now there's a third very big project that we have announced worth 76 crores, which is for setting up a vitrified line, GVT line in Dora. And again, this will be 100% directed towards the South and the West markets.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. So what kind of volumes we see in the West, let's say 3-4 years down the line? Because that has been our weakest spot as of date. So, any broad targeted volume that we have in our mind, sir?
So, Shali, we don't have guidances in terms of volumes from say, a particular region or this thing. But definitely, you know, West is about 5% of our revenues today. And there's huge scope of growing there. And that's why all these investments and on people and manufacturing is kind of going there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. Because West is considered to be a highly competitive market and very, it is closer to Moti region as well. So, I mean, we are just wondering, I mean, what are the targets that we have in our mind and how do we want to proceed further when it comes to gaining market share in West? So, in North, from what we understand, we are selling most of our portfolio is still oriented towards the low value or ceramic tile. So do we see scope to increase our realizations in northern markets because 50% of our volume is still happening over there?
See, yes, we have predominantly a large share of ceramics in our north market. But the fact also is that GVT is the fastest growing product category in North also for us. And even on ceramics, there are a lot of sizes and product categories of ceramics which we sell, which are much more profitable than say the DC and Nano from Moldi for any player. So within the ceramics also, we have successfully carved out a niche where we are focusing on the products with better margins.
Gojo, if I can add to what you asked for initially, see, there is roughly around, how do I say, 4.3 million square meters of capacity which is already added over the last 2 years for Orient-Bell. Yeah, organic capacity. Beyond that, we also unlocked this 1.2 million square meters out of Dora, one way or another. So that's 5.5. And now we have announced another capacity of 3.3. So in a way, you know, once these capacities get digested, yeah, which you said 3-4 years hence, I don't know, maybe earlier, maybe later, depending on the market situation, there is a huge amount of, how do I say, capacity and volume being available to OBL in terms of seeding markets. And that obviously will reflect in the top line, right? So you know, when we look at numbers, anything, you know, it's a general thing, you know, in this sector, 1.5 to 2 times of top line potential generally is possible out of whatever you do on capex. That helps you. Does that answer, Jojo?
Yep. That answers my question. There is just one last thing from my end. If we look at the industry leaders' margin, the gap between their EBITDA margins and our margin used to be around 9-10% historically, which is narrowing every year. So what kind of, few years down the line, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, what kind of margin gap we see between us and the industry leader, and what is our aspirational volumes over the next cycle or during current cycle, per se?
See, first of all, we need to realize as to how this gap is getting bridged out. One, very clearly on the ASP front, you know, our gaps with the market leader used to be in the range of 130, 140. It's now 100 odd rupees. So there is definitely, let me say, ASP gap getting bridged out over the years, right? More importantly, I think even on the cost side, the initiatives that we talked about, which is, you know, changing the fuel mix and changing the power mixes to the extent possible is playing out. And this is helping us retain or, you know, in a way, over normalized times, I'm saying, you know, improve our gross profit margins versus wherever we used to operate earlier. So that's helpful. But yes, on the fixed cost side, you know, like we always say, there are investments which are being made upfront, whether it's on branding, people, etc. And this will have a play once all these capacities come up. So that automatically the operating leverage will play out eventually and you'll see margin enhancements. I'm saying again in normalized times.
Thank you. Mr. Sharju, request to join the queue for any follow-up. Also, participants are requested to limit your question to 2 per participant. If time permits, you may join the queue for any follow-ups. We had Nesar Parikh, whose connection was lost during the question queue. We'll take the next question from him. Nesar Parikh, over to you.
Yes, hi. So the one question which spending I had was on the margins that you were just discussing. You know, what, given what you just mentioned on the initiatives that you're working, what is the outlook for, you know, FY24? Do you have any view, or given how the prices are, it's just difficult to comment on the margins? How do you think about margins for the next 6 to 12 months?
So, Mr. Parikh, extremely difficult to predict. If anything, all the experts who have been predicting trends globally have kind of fallen flat in the last 3 years. So, one doesn't know. I think we are focusing on what we can influence, rather than worrying too much about what is out of control. So as I mentioned earlier, one thing which we have assured is that we have a steady supply of gas and no shortages to run our plants. So I think that is one thing which we have, which we are taking care of. Second thing which we are doing is that by using a combination of fuels, we talked about, Ivanshu talked about biomass plus gas plus LPG now. We are trying to bring our overall gas cost down and kind of diversify our risk from just one source of fuel to multiple sources. On the third hand, you would see that we have always had healthy gross margins in our manufacturing plants, and we continue to kind of have healthy gross margins, which is because we have very tight focus and a very strong culture on cost management. And that is something which I expect will stand us in good stead versus the industry, even if things were to like go south in terms of gas pricing and, you know, other things and all in the future.
Got it. And the vitrified new plants that you have, we'll start getting sales from them from which quarter?
We expect this to be quarter 3 of FY24. And that is when it will be running.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Guneet Singh from CCIPL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. If we talk about the gas prices, which have hiked in this quarter, so our competitor, Kajaria, they have already started using LPG instead of gas. So what they projected is that their fuel cost would come down from 65 rupees starting Q3 itself. So my question is regarding the timelines of alternative fuels that we are planning to use. When will they come in production, and how do you project our fuel costs going forward, like in quarter 3 and onwards?
Okay. So Puneet, see, first of all, we need to understand our plans for old. We modernized them. Like I said, giving the round one capex, by putting in more layer drive, putting in kiln insulation, doing projects which had a very lucrative, let's say, ROI. We are doing more and more, changing fuel mix, etc. Now, these projects that I talked about in my initial speech, these are getting done anytime between now till, let's say, December end. And therefore, eventually, you'll see savings coming in from quarter four. Yeah? So that's the larger piece. How much? Like I said, LPG is approximately 15-20% on a landed apple-to-apple basis, cheaper. We'll obviously not run the plant 100% on LPG. We'll keep some gas, keep some LPG. Similarly, at the other places where we are trying to do biofuel projects, see, Secunderabad largely is done already. Adora is something that we are doing now, right? So this, like I said, has a cost advantage of anything between 30-40% bare minimum, 30-50% rather. This will also eventually get done in this quarter itself. So you should see that savings coming in from quarter four.
All right. So quarter three, we should expect the fuel costs to remain the same since they are coming in.
So like I said, some part of the savings are already in, especially at Secunderabad, because of the projects that we did in the past. So I think we were early in understanding that gas prices would go up, and we were actually doing those capex, ensuring that, you know, we don't get hit so much. And this is why you are seeing that our margins have not gone down drastically, right? When I look at the results published by peers, I'm seeing them down by 5 to 6%. Ours is down 1.6% sequentially and also on a YOY basis. So that's the first thing that you should understand. Now from there, can we further, you know, insulate ourselves? These are the projects that we are running, like I said, the two locations, especially two locations. The locations which are becoming larger with all this capacity expansion coming into play. That should eventually play out between quarter 3 and quarter 4.
All right, got it. So what would be our average price of fuel per unit as of now?
See, it's gone up, like we have mentioned, I think, even in our IR release. It's up 63% at Secunderabad in quarter 2. 71% of Foscot At Dora, it almost tripled. Yeah. So that's where the things were. Now, you know, things have softened out a little at Secunderabad because this is directly linked to crude and crude has softened. At the other places, the costs are a little higher as of now. Yeah. So at Dora, it is obviously APM. The prices are available in the market. At Hoscott, it's a CGT line, pricing mechanism which prevails there. It's in line with whatever the others are getting at in South.
All right. Thank you for addressing my question.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Getam from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So it's heartening to see you go ahead with the new CapEx. I just wanted to understand, as one of our competitors putting up a large format times CapEx, do we envisage any of those sort of products to get into via direct CapEx?
Abhishek, have you finished? May I answer now?
Yeah, no, I will follow up then. I'll follow up later.
So Abhishek, we are doing a larger format tiles, but at this point of time, we find it more capex efficient to do it through trading, which is by buying through Moldi. So we continue doing that and keep evaluating what is the best time for us to put up a plant for that.
Okay. So maybe we might look for JVs or maybe trading for large format. That's what I
think. Yeah, both are possible. But given that, large format slab plant, there were about 35-40 such plants which came up in Moldi in the last 1.5 years. And so these tiles are kind of available at attractive prices to us. So we will evaluate when does it make sense for us to kind of sink in our own capital for this. So let's see.
Okay. So I just want, and over a longer period, let's say 3-4-5 years down the line, where do we see our, where do we aspire our capacity?
Abhishek, you're not clearly audible. Please use the handset.
Yeah. Is this audible now?
Yes.
Yeah. I was asking, in terms of aspiration, sort of 3 or 5 years down the line, where do we aspire to be in terms of installed capacity and sort of a volume? Do we see ourselves like a 55 MSM company, 60 MSM in FY26-27?
So, Abhishek, yeah, I think if you look at where we were 2.5-3 years back, I think pre-COVID FY20, we did less than 500 crores. And we have been growing, through the COVID years, both in top line and bottom line. So we have not set out a number guidance for ourselves that FY26 or FY27, where we would be. But we clearly have set out for ourselves that we want to be a more significant player in the industry. And the way to do it is through a sustainable business model, which kind of does not blindly run after our top line growth also, but ensures that our bottom line and our return on capital and everything, etc., also grows hand in hand. And that's what has been working for us in the last 2.5 years. I think we would have announced and implemented almost close to 200 crores of capex, and we have paid off large amounts of maybe 80-90 crores of loans. So we are happy to kind of keep going like this, keep looking at projects for the next 2-3 years kind of a perspective and keep growing. It's a large industry. So we have given our small market share and our very small minuscule market shares in West and South. We think there's enough potential to expand.
Right. The reason I asked was we've seen agri-efficient paint also in ceramics.
Abhishek, sorry, you're still not audible. Please use the handset mode.
The reason I asked was, we've seen the entry of Asian Paints also coming into ceramics, and also Simpolo Vermora raising private equity capital. So, I mean, what we understand is they also will be going for a significant capex. So, in that sort of scenario, does it make sense to accelerate towards the capex, or, you know, look at how do you look in that sort of scenarios?
See, you are absolutely right. There are new entrants coming into market. That always happens when you see margins going up, etc. There are guys who are strengthening themselves. So have we done as well. We were sitting on debt of 2.5 times net debt EBITDA. We've already paid off everything. We've also digested 100 crores of capex, like what Aditya mentioned. You know, today, let's look at the opportunities. I think, you know, these are challenging times, but these are also creating opportunities. Just a quarter, 90 days does not reflect the trend. Yeah, from a medium to long-term perspective, I don't think the demand drivers are going anywhere, right? So, you know, these are going to be strong. You know, you'll see offtake coming in, markets are broadening. Tiles are replacing a lot of other products. So, you know, in a way, these are beautiful times to be invested into tiles. You know, we have been saying, you know, we have done already 5 projects. We are doing one more, which is not going to create a dent on our balance sheet. We are super strong. So I don't think, you know, otherwise, you know, I think it's a time when we need to invest. You know, investing it, you know, when everyone sees growth, it's easy to invest. When no one sees growth in the short term, or when we see challenges in the short term, people are hesitant. I think it's the other way around. We need to invest now for good times, as simple as that.
Right, right. That's great. Can I ask one more question?
Please do.
Yeah. So, could you shed some light, sir, on annual report? We do talk about Ashwamedha project. Can you shed some light on this Ashwamedha project? And is this being, is the expansion of the west and distribution sort of comes under this project? And how do we see also our marketing expenses and, you know, the rest of the years coming ahead?
So, Abhishek, the Ashwamedha project is a distribution expansion project. It is being done across the country. And yes, you are right. There is a special thrust on this in our vehicle geographies like West. And we have been doing this now for 2.5 years now, and we expect this to continue. More so, Abhishek, because we sense that the tier 2, tier 3 cities are kind of opening up more and more for tiles, and going forward, larger size of tiles, more vitrified tiles and all, and we are trying to put our distribution footprint and our display footprint in that in those cities also. Now, the second part of your question was, can you repeat the second part? You talked about Ashwamedha and then you talked...
Yeah, I was asking regarding the marketing expenses.
Correct. You talked about marketing expenses. So I think we are spending about 3.5% of our turnover on marketing, and irrespective of you know, the businesses, we've been very consistently doing that for the last many quarters, and this trend would continue. Our focus on within marketing has always been on digital marketing, and that will also continue. We'll continue to focus on that, on social media and digital marketing.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Bishmit Nayak from RW Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, QOQ margin, gross margin decline is a result of both mix shift as well as price hike not taken, right?
Yes.
So how much of price hike would be required? Just keeping the mix shift aside, how much of price hike would be required to keep margins?
See, fuel cost is changing every single 15 days. You know, every fortnight it changes. Now, price hikes... you know, just on the basis of these changes, I can't keep, keep my prices volatile, so to say. Yeah. like Aditya mentioned, we haven't really picked up any news around actual implementation of price hikes by competition. So for us to be able to do anything right now would largely depend on how competition plays. Yeah. So let's see. For now, yes, there is a cost impact. For now, you have seen margins going down a little. Like I said, still, how do I say it's 1.6% down versus, you know, whatever competition reported 5.5-6% down. So I think, you know, there are a lot of initiatives like we mentioned on cost side that we are working on. So let's see.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My second question will be on cost side only. Can you quantify it in any way? So, for example, other expenses as percentage of revenue for FY22, compared to that, how much would we save for FY23, looking at the cost savings and other? And so I'm trying to look for structural cost savings that will come through out of this crisis.
See, I shared with you, you know, how much did we save on a like-for-like basis, keeping our product mix and energy cost constant. That figure was 7.6% for the last quarter. Yeah. So, you know, there is a very clear drive to continue doing that, you know, to continue saving. How much, you know, very difficult. Like I said, fuel prices are changing every fortnight. So, you know, to give you very clear answer on this, I would rather hesitate doing that and probably let's see how the figures develop. Once we deliver, you see the figures automatically.
Understood. So, and then just one quick clarification. Demand has slightly improved in October month, but but any commentary on mix shift, has it remained the same or has it improved?
You mean product mix?
Yeah, product mix.
So product mix is largely unchanged right now.
Okay. And this alternative fuel benefits, they will start accruing from Q4, is that correct?
Yes, largely from Q4. At Hoskote Dora, like I said, Secunderabad is largely digested.
Understood. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time, they may please press star and one. Next question is from the line of Pavneesh Kumar from Hidayakas Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. First of all, congratulations on a very good set of numbers. Well, I had a question like, our competitors are diversifying into other fields in the same category. I mean, maybe launching washing products. Do we have any plan to diversify into any kind of other line?
No, we want to stick to tiles at this point of time. I think there are a lot of attractive opportunities with lower payback periods within the tile industry for us to focus on, rather than going for a totally different product line, which by definition would have a much longer gestation period.
Appreciate it, sir. Secondly, sir, like we have improved our balance sheet to a very large extent in last 2-3 years. We are adding people, we are increasing our salary expenses, we have increased our marketing expense. All of that is appreciated. But my concern is that still at the net profit margin level, we are still at 3.5%. And every quarter something or other happens, you know, sometimes fuel prices increases or gas price increases or our sale decreases. So what do you think of, or what is your outlook for next 1 year or 2 years, by when the conditions shall become normal and this gets reflected in our net profit margins?
See, Pavneesh, you know, you need to appreciate times have been very, very volatile. Last 2 years, we were fighting COVID, all, you know, every single time in the first half. This time has been normalized, but yes, there are fallbacks coming in from whatever happened last year, right? So, and then there is a gas cost inflation, which is, and the raw material inflation, which is kind of hurting everyone. So I don't know how to react to this, but yes, you are right, net profit margins have to improve. I think we are putting in capital only to earn money, right, to grow the business. So that's the intent, but let's see. Once we get normalized times, you know, I'm sure we'll be in a better position to answer this.
Appreciate it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I just have two questions. One is, sir, you mentioned on the biofuel at one of the plants which we are trying to put up. Just want to understand, over a longer term, could it be a good enough solution, or we would have to go back to gas, or can this be a long-term solution, or is it just a stopgap arrangement as of now? How do you see it over a longer period?
See, nothing is permanent. You know, it all depends on the economies. So I'm sure this is transitionary. But like I said, when we are putting in money, we are ensuring that we are getting our payback in real time, right? So these are, like I said, ultra-short payback projects. There would be joy immediately. If the situation continues to be the way it is, then you will get a joy between short to medium term as well. But yes, eventually, I don't think gas prices are going to stay elevated. You've already heard what is happening in Europe and in US, huh? You know, in Europe, whatever a little I picked up, you know, the gas prices there had hit a peak of 340 euros per megawatt hour. Today they are trading at 120 or even less. Similarly, the Henry Hub shows that, you know, $9 have become something like $6 odd. So, you know, gas prices locally are coming off. I'm sure there would be some impact coming into our markets also very soon. Let's wait for that.
Sure. No, what I was trying to understand is that the gas is an external product for the whole economy, and we are dependent upon the vagaries because we are a consumer and not a producer. But if we move to biofuels on a sustainable basis, will these vagaries reduce significantly, or is this possible, or is it not possible at all?
So just to give you an idea, with all the projects that we are running, our intent is to have at least 50-60% flexibility in terms of changing fuels. Whatever is relevant, economical at any point in time will be used, right? Okay. So gas will definitely be an important part of the fuels that we fire in our kilns. But yes, in spray dryers, etc., wherever we have flexibility, we can switch over fuels very fast now.
Okay.
Does that help?
Sure, sir. Second question, sir. Now, if I go through our last 3-4 years annual report and our balance sheets and calls, I think we've done a great job in terms of improving the business profile and the financial matrices of the business. What I want to understand is, like, but over a 3-year period, if I look at our volume CAGR versus the industry volume CAGR, we are still in line with the industry, while our scale is much lower. So one would have expected that the investments which we have done should have helped us grow faster in volume. So just wanted to understand, where are we in terms of these investments and the stores probably, or the retail points which we have opened over the last 2 years, added over the last 2 years. How is the reception of our brand? How is the reception of our brands at those storefronts?
So, Nikhil, this is a complicated question. The answer, so I'll try to answer this completely. See, I think the first thing is that being a small company, if over the 3 years which have been the most volatile and the most uncertain and difficult years in business in the last 15-20 years, the balance sheet has been improved dramatically. For example, cash conversion cycle from 70 days is now down to 17, 18, 20 days kind of a thing. So a lot of that stuff has happened. And this has happened, as you said, in a way that the volume CAGR is at par with the industry. So I think I said it in my opening statement also, we are very focused on sustainable disciplined growth. We do not want to chase volumes or chase a top line revenue without really looking at the profitability of that business. We are not a Morbi player. We don't want to run our business like Morbi does. So that's one part of the answer. The other part is in terms of in terms of geography, it was asked before also. See, the west and the south markets are the faster growing markets in our country on tiles in the last few years. And unfortunately for us, these have historically been our weakest markets. So without having presence, meaningful presence in west and south, to grow at the same rate as our competitors all India is kind of putting a lot of pressure on us in the, and we have to depend on north and east, our core markets, for doing that. And that is why we have been, turning our eyes more and more towards the west and south. As I said some time back, with the capex which we announced yesterday, we have announced about 110 crore rupees of capex between Hoskote and Dora in the last 1.5 years.
Yeah.
All of it is targeted towards building up our salience and our presence in south and west. Once we are a meaningful player there, once these capacities come online, Hoskote capacity just came online from October, so early days yet. The conversion of Dora line to GVT happened 3 months back. The initial signs are very good. The new line in Dora, which we talked about, will come, say, 12 months from now. So I think you will see over time this situation also changing, and once west and south start firing for us, and coupled with our strength in north and east, we would definitely start gaining market share and all at a much faster pace. But as I said before, we do not want to go after volumes and top line blindly at the cost of long term sustenance and health of the company.
Sure. Just one continuation here. Now, I understand that we want to maintain the profitability, and we've displayed it over the last 3-4 years, which probably were the most volatile period for the whole world as well. And we've done a great job. But and since the new management team joined the company, that was one of the primary goals. But now, if I have to ask your goal over the next 3-5 years, because once the balance sheet is in proper place, when the capexes are in proper line, and even profitability has improved to a decent level for the company, if I have to ask you over the next 3 to 5 years, what would be your vision of the company? Would you say that incrementally now market share gain while maintaining the profitability at where we are is the key focus area for the company? And in order to achieve that, we've been hiring people, we've been adding people, but what else or what extra do we need to do?
So Nikhil, for future goal, definitely we are putting in all these capexes and all. The goal is to gain revenue, and but to gain revenue in a way which also helps us generate enough funds, say, for the next capex and the next capex after that. So we are focused on revenues. You also said that our growth has been at par. I would actually disagree a bit, because in the first COVID year, I think we were the only listed tile company which actually grew. In the first COVID year, when the whole world was shut down, we grew a small 2%, but it was still a growth in terms of top line. The second COVID year, as a company, we grew top line by 30-odd%, which I think again was best in class amongst all the listed tile players in the industry. So we have been growing revenue at a fast clip. At the highest rate in the industry for the last 2 years. And we have done this along with strengthening our balance sheet, along with ensuring that our EBITDA margins and our profitability margins keep going up year on year. We are now in a situation where we see, and as I said earlier, demand being a bit sluggish. But we continue to be on this path, and we will keep growing revenues, and hopefully we'll also keep growing our margins. I'll just give you one data point. If we were to take gas pricing as the same as quarter one versus the actuals of quarter two at Q1 equivalent gas prices, our EBITDA would have been about 80-90 basis points more than what it was in quarter one.
Mm-hmm.
And gas prices, fuel prices is something which is absolutely totally out of our control. We can only react to it. We cannot influence it even 0.01%. So the guideline is, the direction is very clear to grow revenues aggressively while at the same time ensure that we are generating enough and more funds for our next expansion and the next expansion after that.
Sure, sir. Sure, thanks for the perspective.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference back to the management for the closing comments. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for your patience. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Orient Bell Limited, that concludes today's call. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.